It's Monday, August 8th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast. Geek News Central is sponsored by GoDaddy.com, the world's largest domain register and web hosting provider. Save money on your purchases using promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Geek News Central is also sponsored by GoToMeeting. Go to GoToMeeting.com now and get 1 month free of web conferencing by clicking the Try It Free button and using the promo code PODCAST. Geek News Central is also proudly sponsored by Carbonite. Get a 15-day free trial using promo code TPN and get a 2-month free additional with your contract when you purchase the product. Hey, Geek News Central is also a partner on the Tech Podcast Network. You guys know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all our great content. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. And really, it's easy to get subscribed. All you really have to do is jump over there and you'll see on the second column, you'll see a listing of the audio or video podcast for GNC. You'll see our special media events feed, Morning Tech Show, The Gadget Professor, Robot Underpants, and The Chrome Show, which are all shows part of the Geek News Central family of content creators. And the best part about that is that we give you about 6 to 7 hours of very cool content every week to enjoy. Of course, there was no Saturday Morning Tech this past week as I was flying back from Austin, and there was no Chrome Show as well, so I've got a couple of shows to get caught up on you, but we did have a brand new edition of the Robot Underpants, which was released earlier today, and of course, Don Bain, the Gadget Professor, will be with you on Thursday with the edition of the Gadget Professor, and of course, we'll be here both, of course, tonight and Thursday night doing live for a release on Tuesday and Friday. Well, I tell you, it's kind of odd. You know, I've been gone for a week here from the studio, and every time I go away, it seems like it takes me a show or more to kind of get back into the groove of things. But, you know, I guess it's just the way it is. You know, transition from using the road equipment to basically using the being here in the studio where everything is supposed to go right, so long as I push all the buttons correctly. And I give a warm welcome to the Ohana, all of you that are longtime subscribers of the show and a part of the family here. Thanks for being subscribed, and of course, thanks for staying subscribed and sharing information about the show with your friends, family members, people that you know, and also blogging about the show from time to time. We definitely appreciate that and giving us tweet outs as well when we're up and running. So, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Geek News. That's a location where you basically get updates on whatever's happened at Geek News Central and whatever's going on with me, really. But if you want to stay abreast of this show specifically by staying subscribed to the newsletter will basically get sent out immediately following the show. It contains all the show notes, everything that I cover during the show, so that you'll have a guide or an index to go by on what I'm going to cover during the show. But the most important thing is not to miss an episode. That's where I'm going to give you in-depth commentary on tech commentary that's happened here in the last... That was kind of like a double innuendo, wasn't it? Where I give you deep tech commentary on the events of the day or the past couple of days, and I dig for tech and I dig stuff out so you don't necessarily have to in your busy schedules. But get to start, subscribe to that newsletter. That way you'll never... First of all, you'll be reminded that there's a new show out. And that way, basically, just stay abreast of what's happening on here. If you want to watch us, you can watch us on the Roku or Boxy at basically the Tech Podcast channel over there. Get that loaded as one of your channels, and also on Samsung IPTV as well. So That's where we can be caught. The last two episodes, boy oh boy, all good planning has went to waste because I've been using, this is the second trip when I was on travel that I used an application called Wirecast. And everything worked fine on the first trip. But on the second trip, the video recordings that I got out of Wirecast were less than stellar. And we were having problems compiling them. Somehow the new Final Cut did not want to, boy, this new version of Final Cut, big time, two thumbs down. And so I had big challenges trying to get the aspect ratio right. And that just, you know, my head was scrunched in the final product. And I just said, the heck with it. We'll go back to the drawing board and try again. I'm probably going to go back to VidBlaster. And I was bad-mouthing on Google Plus, and some of the guys got on there and got on me for bad-mouthing a Wirecast. But when, you know, when it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And they offered to try to help me get through this thing. But, you know, I'm pretty computer savvy. And usually, you know, the one leading the pace on this type of stuff. But it is what it is, so we're going to figure it out. Of course, we're streaming live at live.geeknesscentral.com. So those of you that are up on the live stream, I want to welcome you, of course. And then all of you that, some of you maybe catch us on Ustream right now. But the better stream, again, is over at live.geeknesscentral.com. So feel free to check us out over there. Hey, if you've got comments about today's show, you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, our hotline is open 24 hours a day at 619-342-7365. For those of you overseas, it's +1-619-342-7365. Well, I tell you, I've got some stuff to talk about tonight. And I've been doing some reflection. We talked about the plank, the pending plank owner program here a few days ago. And I've been kind of conflicted. We started about probably 2.5-3 months ago. I started working real hard to constrain the shows to 1 hour and 10 minutes. And the exact word there is constrain. And, you know, one thing I've always said about this show is that for me, it's got to be about having fun. It's got to be about me being relaxed, sharing good information with you guys. And I feel that by my constraining myself to 1 hour and 10 minutes, that it's, well, constraining the show. And we've got, you know, we've gotten pushback before when I've went over 1 hour 10, 1 hour 15, 1 hour 20, and really the show never got much over 1 hour 20, that I felt that I was seeing a stats drop off of users. And I've been watching really the difference between in the trend line between 1 hour 10 and 1 hour 20. It really was only a minor amount. And I kind of figured for those of you that are fans of this show, I don't think you're going to care if I go 1 hour 10 or 1 hour 20. So unless someone or a lot of people email me a lot of hate email and said, Todd, please don't go back to 1 hour 20. I'm going to not feel so constrained to stay in that 1 hour and 10 minute time frame, because it just felt like I was being rushed. And when you're rushed doing this show, it's not good. And we've got this pace and we've got this conversation that we can have together. You guys know that always during the beginning of any show, I spend like the first 10 or 15 minutes just kind of chatting you guys up and not really talking about tech. And I think that is a big part of this show. And I don't want to lose that by trying to jam all that into 10 minutes. And, you know, those of you that don't want to listen to that, go to the first 15-minute mark and start listening there. So I'll let you guys kind of be the judge. And I'll let you email me back or call the hotline. Let us know what you think. And, you know, just tell me how you feel. And I think I'll feel better by not being constrained. I'll still try to respect your time and get you guys out of here in a decent time without having you to, you know, to really bleed into other stuff that you're listening to. But I feel if you love the show as much as I know the majority of you do, you're not going to care if it's 1 hour 10 or 1 hour 20. You may miss a few segments of the show from time to time because you can't get it all listened to. That's fine. But I think at this point, it's just, you know, for me, I felt conflicted and going short. And someone saying here, Wirecast works for me on Mac. Well, I've been using it on a Mac. And but the problem is with the only being able to, long story, I'm not going to get into it any further on the show, but it's just one of those things. VidBlaster, I've never had lost a show to any video. Never lost a single episode. Always got my video out of it when I wanted to. Okay, let's talk about a couple things going on here. All right, back here in Honolulu for 2 weeks. Four shows in Honolulu. So that's what that's going to take us to. That's going to take us to, actually, we're at episode 694. Okay, so that'll be take us to 698 before I leave. So 64, 65, 66, 67. I'll do two shows from Albuquerque, New Mexico, because that's where I'm going to be on the week of, let me look here, on the week of the 22nd of August. So what was going to happen here is on show 700, which will be recorded on the evening of the 29th of August, we're going to bust the 700 number on that evening. And we're going to do something special, of course, like we do on any 100th anniversary show. And 700 is just another number and on our way to 1,000 or more. So we'll do something special on that show, but we'll have four shows here in Honolulu. And then again, that week of the 22nd, I'll be in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We'll have a meetup sometime during that week as well. So just to let you know what's going on with the schedule here. Hey, are you attending a conference anytime soon? Are you going to a tech conference? Are you going to a social media conference? Are you going to something techie? You want to be our eyes and ears on the ground? Well, I'm looking for basically stringers to cover shows for us for Geek News Central. Let me know. And we'll definitely get you hooked up with the credentials and get you in here as an editor and let you write about the show, offset some of your costs going to the show. So definitely email me at geeknews@gmail.com if you're going to be going to a conference. We want you to be our eyes and ears. Let's talk just a little bit about this Plank Owner Program. I announced this on the last show. So far, no negatives. Everything I've gotten from all of you has been very positive response, which I'm excited about. That's good. And a number of folks said, hey, I've been listening to you for 6-7 years. Man, it's about time. I threw you a bone. So what I did today, I had a discussion with a company that we think is going to be able to develop the planks. Now, a plank, as I discussed in the past show, you guys know I did 24 years in the United States Navy, retired from the Navy we're going on more than 3 years. And so I thought we'd do a nautical theme. And what the goal is the goal is to basically truly build from the ground up a brand new studio. This is something that would not be an existing building. We would actually go into a new structure. It's going to be here at this property. And matter of fact, we're doing some measuring and basically in a pad that's already ready for a building to be built on it. And my wife is on board. We're all excited about being able to do it. In Hawaii, it's just not possible to go somewhere and just buy some more land. If I did, I'd have to raise about $1 million. And I know you guys are generous, but I don't think we could quite get to $1 million, even with this audience. If we could, I would be shocked. But, you know, crazier things have happened. So, you know, we've got a goal. We know what kind of money we need to raise. And we talked about that in the last show. But I'm going to kind of make sure that this is right. We've got everything set. And they're going to be sending me some designs. And this is going to be a nice plank. And, of course, a plank owner being a person that helps commission a ship. So you guys are going to help commission a new studio. And it's, you know, in years past, like one of the last ships ever built with planking was back in the 70s. But take, for example, the USS Missouri has teak. All the deck planking is teak. And all the guys that were plank owners that were originally launched the ship or actually did the recommissioning all got basically like sample teak planks. We're going to do something. It's not going to be like Leo did. And we're not going to be building a wall or nothing like that. But obviously this idea was spurned from what he did with his brick twit house, which I say was a genius. And as I'm looking online at different people that have done these brick type of things before, there's been many, many, many folks that have done those. But I thought we would keep the nautical theme and do the plank owner program. Definitely the buy-in is going to start in at about $100 for individuals, $500 for corporations. And we'll have that all laid out and waiting for the pricing on what the planks are actually going to cost. And then we'll get that lined up and get it kicked off. But we hope all of you will help us out. The goal is obviously to sell about 1,000 planks. And where we go with the studio will depend on the commitment level we get from this audience as we move forward. So looking forward to making that happen. And what we may also do is go to a new publishing schedule. When we put the new studio up, I may switch from doing typically night recordings to maybe doing prime time, doing it earlier so that all of you can watch on a East and West Coast time zone without being impacted too heavily. Because most of you that are on the East Coast, it's what, 2 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast right now. So we definitely want to make some adjustments there. But anyway, we'll talk about that as time goes on. Okay. Hey, don't forget GoDaddy.com, one of our sponsors here at Geek News Central. A great place to go to find great products and services when it comes to web hosting, when it comes to domain names, you name it, GoDaddy.com has it. And I've got great pricing for you on .coms. I've got you great pricing on hosting accounts. All of our specials are closed right now, largely because the gal that runs all of our programs with GoDaddy, she's on baby leave at this point. So on August 5th, all of our promotions died, but we've got all kinds of promo codes for you like normal. All you got to do is when you pick out your products at GoDaddy.com and get to the checkout counter, when you click on the GoDaddy promo code link on the website at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, you're going to find my whole list of codes here. And there's just a huge stack of them that's going to allow you to save money in multitudes of ways. So we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here and hope that you will support them in our endeavor. I kind of got off track today. I was supposed to do the GoDaddy ad earlier, so we'll come back to the sponsors here in a little bit. But how you guys been enjoying? I'd love to hear you guys' feedback as well on Robot Underpants, Gadget Professor. What do you guys think of our two hosts that are creating shows at GNC? Love to hear. You know, those shows have done well. I'm really proud of the growth thus far of those two shows. So love to hear guys' feedback. And make sure you're giving Don and Langley both feedback on their respective shows and let me know. And, you know, let me know specifically what you like, what you dislike about the shows, and keep us abreast there. I know that Don and Langley themselves get feedback directly. But it's always good if you send me input on what you think, how the shows are doing, so I can provide either constructive criticism if needs be, or latitudes and so forth. So definitely drop me a line here at geeknews@gmail.com. Okay, so what else is in my stack here? I guess that's it. Let's take care of the last piece of business before we get into the show content. But what I want to show you guys tonight was something pretty cool. And doggone it, I don't think I've got this hooked up. So let me see here. Let me go ahead and switch this over. And I may have to bring up the, plug this in. Give me a second here. That's what I get for being prepared. As you guys know, GoDaddy's introduced HD Faces. I want to show you a short video here of what they've created. And you just got to visualize this to really understand how fantastic this new feature of GoToMeeting is. Let me show you this.
When we launched GoToMeeting, we completely revolutionized online meetings by making them incredibly easy to use for everyday business. Today, we have taken an even bigger step ahead with the addition of our high-definition video conferencing feature, HD Faces. HD Faces comes with your GoToMeeting account at no extra charge. You'll have a telepresence-like experience with just a webcam and an internet connection. To use HD Faces, just launch or join a meeting. Then click on the webcam button in the control panel and start working face-to-face. It's really that simple. From quick check-in meetings to big presentations, you'll love the new GoToMeeting with HD Faces.
So you guys know I'm really excited about this. You know, GoToMeeting by Citrix is really the easiest way to meet with online colleagues. And they have done an absolute fantastic job in this new version of GoToMeeting and basically bringing all these new features to the product. And this HD Faces has been so awesome because I can basically have my webcam right here on my monitor. And I be up in a meeting, and team members from Raw Voice are actually popping in and are like, "Hey, Todd." And I'm like, "Hey, Angelo, what's going on?" And we do a little quick chat, and he says, "I got something to show you." And he says, "Let me have control." And I give him control of the desktop, and he brings up something and shows me, and we kind of go through it. And I say, "Yeah, that proposal looks good. Go ahead and sign off on it, blah, blah, blah." And, you know, we kind of just have this two-way. And it used to be we're just kind of talking to each other over the speaker. It's completely changed how we're doing online meetings. Makes it more personal, engaging, and absolutely more effective. So I want you to try GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It will change the way you work. Geek News Central listeners can try it free for 30 days by visiting GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use the promo code PODCAST. Again, be sure to use the promo code PODCAST so we get credit for those of you giving GoToMeeting a try. And if you haven't tried, if you've tried GoToMeeting in the past and it's been a while, give this a run for your money. You're just going to love it. You really, really are. I want to thank GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor here. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into the full stack in the tech side tonight. I got a bunch of stuff to get into. But man, oh man, the first things first. What is going on with the stock market? Oh my goodness. Of course, we got that big blast on Friday, and they downgraded our credit rating. But if you have bought gold in any time in the near future, it went over $1,700 today. And yeah, I guess the NASDAQ and everything's down like 1,100 points. Like I said in the previous show, those of you that had 401ks in 2008 when the thing took a big blast that turned into 200.5s, well, I think with these last two big hits, I think we're all down to, what, 100 and a quarter or something like that. You know, just effectively saying how much our investment portfolios have took a hit. Wow. It's just shocking. It really is. But we'll see. We'll see where this goes. But, you know, the folks over at VentureBeat, a specific VC by the name of Tim Draper, says that the U.S. has just dropped a notch. He said the biggest question on every mind in Silicon Valley relates to basically a collective worst nightmare, and could a macroeconomic collapse trigger another dot-com bust? Now, everyone's saying that right now we're in a bubble again. These venture capitalists are just giving out money like candy. And at what point does that change to them not giving any more money and funding drying up? And Draper said, countries with the best rule of law, the best bankruptcy protection, the freest trade, the freest markets, and the best credit ratings are the country that rule the day. And he says the U.S. dropped the notch. Well, you know, there's not a lot of countries. There's only about this many countries that have a AAA rating still. I mean, everyone else is at our level or below. And we'll see. I just can't imagine that this over the long haul is going to hurt investment by venture capitalists. They're inclined to take more risk than most investors are willing to take. And they're willing to throw hundreds of millions of dollars out there knowing that probably out of 20 deals, they're going to get one that's going to be a payday. The rest of them, they're going to flush their cash investment down the toilet. So I guess we'll see what happens in Silicon Valley over the way this economy's going. You know, I don't know. What do you guys think? Are we going to go into a double dip recession? I don't want to get you guys too depressed on this tech show about this. But is it changing your tech buying habits? Are you guys holding back? Are you not purchasing things? Or are you going to ride this out and see where it goes? And for those of you that are business owners of this that listen to this show, how many of you are basically not hiring people. You know, we hear the pundits talk about businesses not hiring anybody. I'll be honest with you. If Rob Voice was in a position to hire someone and I could justify it at this point, we would hire. I wouldn't have a problem, you know, hiring. But we've always been very careful on how we spend our money. And so I wouldn't have an issue from that perspective. You know, you go large or go home, right? So I don't know. Where do you guys think this all sits? Love to hear any, you know, feedback. And I know this is not super tech related, but just wanted to throw it out there with the events that's happened over the past 4 or 5 days here. Getting back more into the tech side of things, would you pay to stream local TV to a Roku? I got to thinking about this for a second. You guys know I'm a big Roku fan. And, you know, we have pretty much here cut the cord. I'm getting some channels via the air. But I don't know if I would pay specifically to get a stream of a local TV, because I can get that already. And, you know, ABC, NBC, Fox, CBS, PBS programming. I think most of that is available here. Even though we get it over the air, we don't switch to it too much. And then, of course, we're getting a lot of other of our content through the Boxy and through the Roku TV. I will say one thing. My Google TV, something's going on with it. It's in this continuous loop. About every 2 minutes, it goes, da-da! And it starts playing the intro music. I don't know if it got a bad update or what's going on with it, but I tried playing with it the Sunday, and my wife is like, what is wrong with this thing? And I'm like, either it's broke or we got a bad load or it got halfway loaded and failed. I don't know, but I got to play with it. So have you ever seen that with a Logitech Google TV in a loop? So we're kind of out from using our Logitech at this point. But I guess one thankful thing, it's still under warranty. So I won't feel bad sending it back if I have to. It's a 1 year warranty for it. But anyway, the question was asked, this specific question on the Roku was asked by Dan Jasper. And I believe he is with Sonic.net. So I'm not real familiar with Sonic.net and what they do, but he did get some response, and the majority of people said no, and it would have no value. And some people said, yes, that'd be worth $5 a month. Someone said it would be worth 10, but it was a very small sampling in the response rate, and he only got responses out of like 6 or 7 states. So obviously not a big polling there, but I don't know. I don't think I would. I want to talk about, you know, we've heard about the service members that were killed last week in the helicopter crash, and of course the military's still sorting that all out. I mean, you know, your hearts go out to those families, especially SEAL Team 6 and the people that were on that chopper, and of course the Afghani nationals as well. But one thing we all can probably agree on is that we want the guys that are over there doing this job to have the best gear possible. So when I saw this article over on Engadget, I kind of like grimaced a little bit. What this is it's a cam wielding RC car, which was used to investigate roadside bombs. And this is going to upset you a little bit. Apparently, this home built rig, which included a wireless security camera mounted on a Traxxas Stampede, I guess that's a type of remote controlled truck, cost about $500 and was built in 2007. And since that time, an Army staff sergeant by the name of Christopher Fesden has used it to locate roadside bombs until it tripped a detonation sensor during a patrol last month, in turn saving Fesden and his fellow troops from coming head-to-head with a 400 pounds of explosive. And this RC cam didn't survive the attack, so this guy's brother, who built the first model, is currently working on a replacement. And but here's the thing that just kind of pisses me off. I'm just gonna be straight up. These guys thought outside the box. They improvised. They built their own RC car with a webcam on it. And this thing is just like, you look at it in the picture, it's like super low tech. Now we know that anything that is built for the military has all types of mil standards, has all kinds of expensive parts, goes through a bidding process, goes through R&D, has a program manager, becomes a program of record, there's a contract, statements of work, all kinds of interesting big buzzwords that usually means bureaucracy. And here you got some guys that spend $500 of their own money and have been using this, probably without the brass knowing, to protect themselves. And now, this guy's brother is building another one so they can use it. Why? Why such a simple, but if you think about it, you don't want to walk up on something you think is going to go boom. Believe me, I got buddies that came back that I know personally. They came back after having survived a couple of IUD hits, even though they were in these nice vehicles that were designed to do IUD hunting. They just come back and they admitted them themselves. They're not right because they get their brains rattled, right? And to just, you know, there's been some studies already. We talked about in a previous show how these guys' neurons get jacked and there's, you know, because of that overpressure and that impact. And so these guys designed their own, basically, bomb sniffer. You know, go up and drive around, look at this, make sure, nudge it, make sure it's not what they think it is. And they did it themselves for $500. I applaud them for doing that, and thank God they did because they're still alive. But why in the beep does not the DOD... Why can't they roll something out for all these guys like this? Oh, we're going to have training. We're going to have roadside support for it. We're going to have to make sure they got plenty of chargers and batteries. It looks like they're running the camera off a couple of AA batteries in this picture. Whatever works, right? Sometimes the simplest ideas are what saves lives. It doesn't have to be this multi-million dollar program of record. So I applaud Army Staff Sergeant Christopher Fesden and his brother. And I wish they would open up a fund. I'd throw some bucks at it to help them build their next one. But the question is, now, will these guys get in trouble that this has become public? Is the Army going to go after them and say, you're using an unauthorized piece of gear? You're going against protocol because everything has to be such black and white within lines, right? At these points, these guys got to do everything they can to protect themselves. So, but it's irritating to me. It really, really is. So enough on that. I have a link up in the show notes. You guys can read it yourself. And, I don't even know where this guy was stationed out of. You know, the Chinese were building some. I saw Dvorak test a little vehicle. They had a little camera on it. Maybe the Chinese will have some of those. We can just buy them off the shelf. All right. That'd be pretty sickening, wouldn't it? But anyway, long story short, good for these guys to do what they did. All right, let's move on to the next article. This one's an article over on ehomeupgrade.com. Sneak peek beta version of Google TV Honeycomb. And I'm going to give you guys a little quick look here. This is what apparently the new Google TV is going to look like. And here's the best part. There is an app store, and the apps are going to have a featured for TV section. Now, our app that we built for the Android market for our networks is, we feel, TV ready. We made it so it would scale and get large, and the graphics would be right dimensions. So we're hoping that as soon as Honeycomb for Google TV, and there's a very good video here, 7 minutes and 20 seconds, I played through this already, and I was totally stoked by everything I saw. There's going to be an evolution as soon as they get this on the street. It's going to change the whole ball game. The folks from Apple are going to have no choice. Absolutely no choice. Let me see if I can blow this up so you guys can see this. Apple's going to have no choice but to put applications on Apple TV. This is because you're just going to be able to do it with the Google TV. You're going to be able to buy apps right in, you know, buy apps, and you're going to be able to load apps. So I'm excited. I really am to see this come to fruition. And I'm seeing all kinds of stuff here that's very familiar with me from the Android store. So I don't know about you all, but I can't wait to be to be quite honest with you. Hey, Susabel, one of our long time, I need to come off this mic a little bit. I'm sorry. I'm blowing you guys away. Susabel, one of our longtime contributors, one of our longtime bloggers at Geek News Central, who just made a just moved to take up a new job, has went to, and there goes our phone. So my wife will get that here in a second. She attended a conference, and she's got a great write up here. It's entitled "At What Point Do We Run Out of Time?" And one of the sessions she attended advocated creating an entire pod of space, including blogs, Twitter, Facebook, and wikis focused on one class. And what the presenter was basically saying was she basically created a mother blog, and then all of her students, this was in, obviously in education, each of her students each then had their own blog, and every student was responsible for 2 weekly posts, and then they were responsible for reading their classmates' post and commenting on it. And Susabel did the math, and she says, "Listen, that's like 10 hours of work a week for the average college student to get through all this stuff by reading and commenting and writing." She says, "This is not at all possible." She says, "Well, I think Web 2.0, all the social networking, is a great resource and source of entertainment and information. I have my doubts as to whether integrating this technology so deeply in the classroom experience of college students brings any revalue to the mix. Seems like an awful lot of busy work, which I'm not sure any college needs more of. I don't see these methodologies replacing current classroom teaching and assignments either, for many reasons." And I agree. You know, and she says, "Earlier in an article I post on Facebook, I write posts for Geek News Central, plus my own blogs, as well as answering emails and take care of online business. And somewhere in there, I have to eat, work, sleep, shower, and mow the lawn." So we got this amount of time to do all this stuff. So having just finished my college degree and having used these horrible tools called Blackboard, if I had to read every classmate's post and respond, I would have never got nothing done, let alone having to write on my own blog or something to that effect. So the question for all of you is, are you out of time? We already have all the lives, but is technology and stuff within the internet pushed you to the breaking point? I'm close. I'm really close. And yet I can sympathize with what she's saying here. I need about 5 clones, quite honestly. Someday when we hit the big one, and didn't come through with my lottery when I was out there. Someday when we hit the big one, then I'll hire 5 assistants. But you know, it is what it is, right? You have to do what you have to do. Let's move on to a completely different topic. This is an article over in Tech Dirt. Police yet again have arrested someone filming them saying it was an obstruction of justice. A freelance news photographer was videotaping the conclusion of a police chase. The police told him to go away while letting others stay. The guy's name was Phil Dates, and he moved further away and started filming again, at which point he was arrested and charged with obstruction. After the police realized they had no case, they dropped the charges and said the officers are going to be undergoing media relations training. Now, when I was a kid, we had a barn fire. My dad's garage burnt down, and that brought out the local newspaper reporter. And I remember to this day, this guy's my mom. If my mom's listening, she's going to laugh. His name was Bill Barnes. And this guy was about 90. And I know there's no way he can still be alive, but he had his camera and he took some pictures and he had his, you know, his reporter's book down there, and he was intermingling with the fire department and the police officers. And he asked me a couple of questions and, you know, went on his merry way. What happened to freedom of the press when we can have reporters come to the scene of an accident, come to the scene of a police chase or something like that, and film and collect a story? Are police getting so sensitive that they have forgot that this is part of the checks and balances in this country? Is you may not agree with what the press says, but have we got to the point now where the police officers have become so sensitive that they lose their minds and arrest reporters? It's scary. We live in the United States of America, where a newspaper reporter can ask questions and collect as much information as he possibly can, as long as he doesn't interfere with the police investigation. He backs off where he's told to back off, you know, and ask, you know, they may not tell him anything, but, and it's not like they can get up there in your face and take pictures. That wasn't the case, even though they should be able to. It's pretty ridiculous in this day and age. And it just makes you go, a little bit. It really, really does. So, I think that we all have to watch for these types of stories in our hometowns. And even as a blogger, even as if you're just twittering something, you know, the definition of a reporter these days has changed, and we all have to do our best to protect our rights to collect information. You know, not getting to the point where you're going to get arrested for doing something stupid or, you know, messing up a crime scene. But I think too many of the law enforcement people have gotten too sensitive because they're getting caught doing stuff they're not supposed to. That's what's going on. TSA, boy, oh boy, has confiscated a pregnant woman's insulin and her ice packs. Wow. Apparently, she had ice packs that were like the blue ice types that as they warm up, they get softer. And TSA has denied but they've issued an apology. They suggested, though, that the woman is lying. And the TSA said, we didn't touch her insulin. But they did say the ice packs are only allowed if they're completely frozen. And she says the woman's were not. Now, here's the question. It's 110 degrees, and in most of this country right now, how are you going to keep ice packs frozen from the time you leave the house, get to the airport, get through TSA? They're going to start melting. It's impossible. And if you're trying to keep your medicine on ice, what if this woman had her sugar gotten too high and she died on the airplane because she didn't have her insulin? Wow. Just amazing. Truly amazing. Well, Syrian hackers have retaliated. They've defaced Anonymous social network. Now, what has happened is Anonymous basically went after the Syrian military site, and they got in and they went in and defaced their site and put a bunch of stuff there. And in return, a hacking gang has essentially went after the Anonymous' social media site. Now, a Syrian hacker group? Okay. I guess Syria has enough resources to have a hacking group. But anyway, long story short, they put all kinds of nasty stuff on anonymous social media site. They didn't necessarily hack it. They just put all kinds of nasty pictures and so forth of dead people. So, it's interesting to see if Anonymous got anything from their network. But, you know, there's definitely probably be some retaliation from the Anonymous folks. We'll see. Hey, in space news, antimatter particles found in orbit. They've been held there by Earth's magnetic field. I thought, wow, this is cool. How many antimatter particles are up there? Well, it seems like there's quite a bit, but they essentially, the antimatter particles disintegrate if they basically touch anything that is any type of a body. But people, scientists are all excited because the Pamela satellite, and that's a payload for antimatter, matter exploration and light nuclei astrophysics, which was launched in 2006, was used to study an area known as the South Atlantic Anomaly, where the inner Van Allen belt comes closest to their surface. He says it's normally a region satellites and spacecraft avoid due to the high flux and potentially damaging energetic particles, but that was the area that they were looking for. It took over 850 days to trap spot 28, yes, 28 antiprotons in the kinetic energy range. So scientists are all excited. They don't think they're ever going to be able to farm them, but we sent a big satellite up there and spent lots of money to do this. So I guess that's science at work. Apparently, there's a big WordPress hack going on right now. Over 4,000 sites have been affected. And if you're using the Tim Thumb plugin, you definitely want to get that thing off your website right now. So if you're using WordPress and you're using the Tim Thumb plugin, you maybe have already been hacked. It's allowed attackers to upload and execute malicious codes on websites that use it. So this is bad news. And that's at least one plugin that's causing a trouble. So anyway, that be advised there. And there was a list of, again, 4,358 websites that were hacked. Let's talk about warrantless emergency surveillance of internet communications. Now, we talked about this a little bit on a previous show, but there's a great article, and I'm not going to go deep into this because we'll spend an hour just in this article alone, but it breaks down the information derived from a Freedom of Information Act and stuff that they got from the Department of Justice. It took 11 months to get the PDF. It's a two-page report revealing how law enforcement agencies within the Department of Justice sought and obtained communication content for a number of counts. But this doesn't cover everything of all government agencies. But they do see a dramatic increase in the number of emergency surveillance of internet communications that was done specifically by the Department of Justice. So I have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. Hey, those of you that are Mac users, you may have seen this already today. This is over at 925mac.com. And I put the article up on the website. Apple has released a tool to create an OS X Lion recovery installation external drive. So I think this is great news. I always love having an image and some way to rebuild a machine if push comes to shove. But there's full instructions here on how to get this done. And also it tells you how to restore from a Time Machine backup, how to reinstall the operating system, and so forth. So anyway, the link will be up in the show notes on that. Definitely check. Because I've always been wondering, okay, what if my machine crashes? How do I recover? And this is something that all of you really need to pay attention to, because many of you are probably running Lion right now and have no earthly idea on how you would get the operating system recovered if need be. So anyway, I have the link up in the show notes for you to review here. Okay. Let's look at the time. Yeah, we're doing good on time. Apple has fired back at Lodesys, insisting on intervening on behalf of developers. Apple is insisting it will intervene, and for those developers being sued by patent troll Lodesys, this has gotten a little uglier. Apple has fired back in a major brief, but Apple is basically saying, "Hey, I want this needs to go to court. This needs to be a there needs to be a ruling on this." And but it looks to me like Apple wants to fight in on behalf of their developers. They're saying that there could be a boycott issue with the Apple Store because of this action from Lodesys. So we'll see where this goes. But this will be interesting. A big, huge portion of this case will result from the on whether or not this motion is granted or not. So no timeline on when the judge may do that. Good article over at Gizmodo. And every time I see this, you guys have heard this from me at least 20 times. And here's the headline. And let me put this up for those of you watching the video. And I'm going to be straight up with you guys. Some of you may be completely against eating genetically modified anything. But you guys know that I grew up on a farm. And my first 18 years of life was basically spent raising corn, soybeans, and everything else. If you think for even an instant that you haven't been eating genetically modified corn up to this point, you're smoking crack. Everything. I mean everything. Any type of crop, whether it be soybeans, whether it be corn, whether it be grapes, whether it be bananas, whether it be tomatoes, whether it be soy, snap beans, whether it be you name it, whatever you put in your mouth from a vegetable perspective, or even most fruit, has long, long, long been genetically modified. There's a lot of stuff you can do with crossbreeding. Stuff that they've done in with actual science in a lab. I can guarantee you, they're talking about some sweet corn. Monsanto corn will look like any regular corn on the shelf, but it will be genetically altered to carry BT toxin, which messes with insects' digestive systems and kills them, allowing farmers to forego pesticides. They have been genetically modifying corn for years to be less susceptible to insect damage. If you think, I'm just telling you, if you think you're eating anything that's not genetically modified, it's been many years. They were genetically modifying when I was 18 years old. And that was a very long time ago. So, you know, Monsanto, you know, they have patents on their genetically modified soybeans. They have a patent. So if you, if your farmer is planting, planting soybeans with their own seed stock, and there's a Monsanto farmer right next to them, and the wind blows some of that seed into that other farmer's farm, Monsanto can shut that guy down and make him the next year grow their soybeans with Monsanto genetically modified soybeans. This just cracks me up when I see this. So believe what you must. I'm just here to tell you, you've been eating genetically modified crops for years. All right, I'm going to show you something cool. And those of you that are listening, I think there'll be enough of a narrative here for you guys to get the drift of what this is. Now, let me make sure the audio is a little low on the last segment. I want to make sure, yeah, the audio's up high. Let me turn that up the rest of the way. And what I want to play for you, how big are solar flares? And I've kind of thought about that a few times, but let me show you this video. I found this video over at universetoday.com. And I'll blow this up so you can see the whole thing.
Hi. How big in size are solar flares? This impressive NASA video taken on February 24, 2011 caught the public's imagination when news and media outlets described this flare as massive or huge. To fully appreciate its size though, we need some perspective. So let's use something we're a bit more familiar with, the Earth here for size reference. The Earth has an average diameter of 12,742 kilometers. With average outstretched arm lengths of 1.7 meters, 7.5 to 8 million people holding hands would measure the thickness of the Earth. Next to the Sun, the Earth is but a pebble in space because the Sun's diameter is approximately 110 times that of Earth's, enough to fit approximately 1 million inside. Keeping proper ratios, let's now zoom in and fly this model Earth to a position relative to the flare in the video and do an approximate size comparison. Now we begin to see and understand the true enormity of solar flares and also understand better why they can affect us when these eruptions coincide with our planet. Streams of highly energetic particles emitted from larger flares can be hazardous to unprotected astronauts and cosmonauts and problematic for electrical and radio systems. With this Earth versus flare size reference, we can also do a quick estimation of the final length of the flare by stacking one Earth next to another as the flare unfurls. What we end up with is a flare length that is approximately 30 Earths stacked end to end. So after watching this video, the next time we hear that a solar flare is massive or huge, we can know that it is likely to be equivalent size to dozens of Earths. If you've enjoyed this video and found it informative, please share it with others. Thank you very much.
Very, very cool. And that was a NASA video. So just so everyone knows, and it was done by World Scott, I guess. So cool stuff. I got another one for you here. I found two cool videos in a row. You know, we just sent a probe to Jupiter. The Juno launch happened on Friday, went off without a hitch. And but we're going on a 5-year trip. Oh, don't tell me you're not available. Okay, let me try this again. There we go. Okay, it's loading now. And this video shows the Atlas V Juno launch on our way to Jupiter to intercept Jupiter in 2016. They're going to do a Earth gravity assist in 2013. But this is a couple minute video. I want to show you guys this one too. And then we'll get into the content again. I got a stack here of fun stuff for you tonight. So let me go ahead and bounce into that. I'll show you this.
Go Atlas, go Centaur.
T-minus 10. Five, four, three, two, one. Ignition and liftoff of the Atlas V with Juno on a trek to Jupiter. Planetary piece of the puzzle on the beginning of our solar system.
Altitude is 45.8 miles in altitude, downrange distance 69 miles, velocity 5,413 miles per hour. We have retros and stage separation. Ignition and full thrust on aerofin. Centaur close loop stern has been enabled.
So cool stuff, footage courtesy of NASA there. So, man, just, it is a fun video to watch for those of you that are listening that were kind of left in the dark there for a little bit. I have the link up in the show notes for you. And again, it's over at universetoday.com. Hey, Apple has been sued over macOS 10's speedy startup. What more can you get sued for? You know, come on. Give me a break. You know, how many different ways can companies get sued for these days? You know, you made it fast. You made it fast to load up. So you got to get sued because it boots too quick. Oh, when will the madness end? Hey, you want to be a hacker? Now, all you got to do is go download the Android Network Toolkit app. Turns anyone into a hacker. And it only costs you $10 to do so. You can get a corporate license for $10. app's going to be out next week. And we'll see if Chrome allows us to go up on. This is going to be for the Android. If I said for iOS, I apologize. But this is be a fun little app to play with. Again, hacking can cause you to go to jail if you use it the wrong way, okay? And if you've been downloading stuff on peer-to-peer, your chances of being sued have went up. 200,000 BitTorrent users have been sued in the United States. A pretty exhaustive spreadsheet shows the current number of John Does and Jane Does that have been sued since the beginning of 2010 currently stands at 201,828. Nearly all the defendants are accused of sharing copyrighted files via BitTorrent. And not everyone has been served because the ISPs had a huge backlog in order to get all this information to the people that are trying to reach out to those of you that are on someone's hate list or hit list. Over on OGizmo, they've always got some cool gadgets here. And one thing I always do, even though I shave with a razor, there are times that I want to freshen up. And let me see if I can flip the right buttons here. Here we go. OGizmo has an emergency credit card size razor and mirror. Now, diet shaving is no fun, but if you are so inclined that you need to freshen up during the day and you need to carry a razor around, there is one that you can carry in your wallet. And what's it going to run you? $17 from a company called Infemetry, Infemetry. Now, along with that, there's another cool gadget here. Blue Lounge has come up with a mini dock which gets your charging your iDevice off the floor. This is a pretty nice little charging dock. And so if you've got a wall socket that's free, none of my wall sockets are free. They're full of different charging devices, but $19.95. And you can get these in the US, UK, and where are they sold from? Let me link on this. BlueLounge.com is where you can pick these up. All right. Let's take care of one piece of business, last piece of business before we get into our final segments tonight and get into emails. You guys know I've shown you this before. I've got a drive here, right? I've got a drive that end up costing me about, I looked up the invoice the other day, it's about $830 to get pictures out of this that were from my dad. And, and if I would have had Carbonite at the time, I would have not had the issue and would have not have to pay $830. I thought I had a great backup scheme going. I keep drives in a safety deposit box. I have everything scripted to back up. And, I thought I was good. And about a year after my dad died, I blew a drive. And lo and behold, 2 years of content, 2 years of pictures specifically, never made it into my backup scheme, and they were on that drive. and they had to be sent off to get updated. But the folks over at Carbonite definitely will help you ensure that if you have an issue where 15,123 drives are going to crash tomorrow, if one of them is yours, you're going to get a great deal here. So what I want you to do is go over to carbonite.com. When you get there, fill out your email address, put in your password, and then use the promo code TPN, and you're going to get 2 bonus months when you actually register the product. And I have now been a Carbonite user just about a month. And it's at this point, I look at the little info center page that comes up. Everything's clean. It looks good. It's tells me what's backed up. I can manage everything. I can see what's up in the cloud, what's there. I'm happy as a clam. And for $59 a year, Carbonite Online Backup automatically will back up your files to secure offsite location. And if anything happens to your computer, you know that your material is safe. And so get that 15-day free trial. Use the promo code TPN. And thanks for Carbonite for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. Okay, let's go ahead and bounce into the last number of articles I've got. Again, I'm not going to feel rushed tonight. We're going to finish when we finished. I found a website. It's coming online. It's called Framesocket. You know, online video distribution has gotten to the point where there's a lot of players out there. But Framesocket is another site and just a series of platforms that have really emerged with affordable pricing plans and an easily customizable interface. And what I like about this is they're pretty open and they're working with third-party developers. So this allows you to build your own video interface on your website using their infrastructure. And so I'm going to let you guys check this out. It really drew my attention today a lot. And I'm going to be doing a lot more investigation of it over the next a couple of weeks. It costs about $25 a month for 5 gigs of storage and delivery with initial storage and video delivery available in increments of 50 cents per gigabit of storage and 0.25 cents per gigabyte transfer. Now, that's on the high side as far as the bandwidth costs go. But, they're maintaining the platform, so it's a good thing. This show, the HD version of this show, will be about 1.3, 1.4 gigs. And you figure I do 8 shows a month. So we're pushing 10 or 11 gigs of just the 720p version of this. And then the standard definition one that most of the mobile folks are subscribed to now is about 400 megs. So definitely use a lot of storage online when you're doing video. But an option here for many of you. How many of you have got website speed issues? I knew at Geek News Central, we had one, and we did some changes. Matter of fact, we're moving to a new server, but just some changes we did recently sped the site up considerably. But if you want to run some tests, the folks over at MakingWindowsEasy.com have a pretty cool tool for you to check out. I have a link up in the show notes. It basically kind of shows you what's slow and what's quick. You design and sell T-shirts? Well, there's a couple of new sites out there available for you to do so. One is already familiar with Spreadshirt. Another one that's out there is called Redbubble. So I have links up to these. This article, it talks about these two services. Of course, you guys know that we've got Ohana Wear. Got wear for the show that you can buy at cafepress.com/Ohana Store. But if you want to have a place to make your sell your own T-shirts and design, feel free to check these two sites out as well. There is a, I don't think I, didn't want to cover that. Let me click off that. The next article we have is, again, another article by Susabel. She did a great review of a Plustek OpticBook 3800 scanner. She was able to get a demo version of this, and she didn't put a picture on the blog post. I apologize. But she's got a great review of the specific OpticBook 3800 scanner. And she'd had some experience with this company's scanners before. So I think she was well qualified to go through and do a good review of it. She basically, at the end of the review, she says, one frustration for me is this device is that it does not turn off when not in use. She says, I had to physically turn off the device and to have the scanner lamp shut off. And she said that was surprising, since having the scanner lamp on can really decrease its life. She said a price around $300 or less if you shop around does offer a low-cost, effective solution for those that not only need to scan photographs and images, but text as well. And she may consider one for her home office, since it includes the OCR software with it, which usually is a pretty pricey evolution. I do note that the folks at Epson are sending me a new printer. Seems like Epson is all of a sudden reaching out to bloggers and content creators. And they're sending over a printer to me to review. Should be here later in the week. I'll get that in action. We'll let you know about that in a couple of weeks. Another article that was posted at Geek News Central is a good article by KL talking about a app called Read It Later. And boy, I feel the pain here. It says, most mornings when I wake up, I usually have over 500 posts in my favorite feed reader. Currently, I'm not going to read them all, so I skim through them and save those that look interesting. Once I'm finished skimming the feeds, I can go to Read It Later and read those articles that really interest me as needed. And but anyway, links are up here, and there's ways to cross-post up to Twitter, Facebook, MySpace. Of course, anybody using MySpace anymore. Share on Pinboard, Evernote, Tumblr, and a variety of other sites, including creating something with Instant Paper as well. So I have a link up in the show notes for that. You can check it out. Good article by KL over at GNC. You got to love the Chinese. You know, they've been buying iPads and shipping them to China as fast as they can. But it appears that smuggling Apple products to China has been a little bit challenging, in that getting the iPads out of Hong Kong and into China itself has been a little bit problematic because of the tax that's implied. So what some entrepreneuring smugglers did is they were flying the smuggled iPads into the country. They were using a pulley system and a wire stretch across the border. And I guess they, what did they call this? It's like one of those zip lines. And they were actually zipping them across. But it was all good until the authorities one night saw the iPads in action. And it was pretty, this was not just any fly-by-night deal. They, you're looking at the pictures of this thing, they had a pretty sophisticated zip line set up. And but anyway, the Chinese shut them down, and the Chinese authorities did. So if they want those iPads coming across the border, they're going to have to do it with paying their duty to do it. Those of you using OS X Lion, Skype has been updated with HD video calls and for Mac OS X Lion. So make sure you update your Skype version as soon as possible. The new Apple, or actually one of the Apple TVs have been hacked, and there's a new hack out there that shows some folks playing a blackjack game with HTML5 on an Apple TV 2. So if you've hacked your Apple TV, there's a new place you can go to actually play blackjack. I can just see it now. All kinds of casino games will start being able to be played via that. But there's a pretty good video over at TechCrunch on this, and a minute 54 seconds, you can check it out on Apple TV that has been jailbroke, essentially. On a better news front, Panasonic, Sony, Samsung has teamed up for an active 3D glass standard. Boy, this is long. This is a few years overdue in a big way. So I guess they finally come up with a standard, and maybe we won't have 25 different kinds of 3D glasses to have to deal with. If you're an iOS user and you've been using Google Plus, the iOS app now supports iPad and iPod Touch, but it is still not optimized for the iPad. It blows up, doesn't look quite right, but Engadget has the review on that. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you, okay? You know, I've been playing with my Chromebook more and more, and Google has basically said that you know, there was no plan to launch a Chrome tablet. But there's been some stuff leaked where it looks to me like there is a Chrome OS in works for a tablet. And they've actually got a screen design so you can actually type on the tablet. And there's bookmark managers and all kinds of little things here that makes it look like, and let me blow this up for you, those of you who are watching on the web, it looks like they're going to be able to be, you know, it's going to give the ability to use this on a tablet. So, kind of an interesting development, that's for sure. Hey, if you have comments on tonight's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Last couple of articles, Honeycomb 3.1 update for LG G Slate starting to push on August 8th or 9th, says LG. So if you've got an LG G Slate, be looking for Honeycomb. And I'd love to hear you guys' reports. For those of you that get Honeycomb right off, just drop me a line, okay? And I'd love to hear about the update and how well it works. Got an article, and we're going to save this right here for the end of the show. What people prefer to an activity adults partake in. There's a bunch of surveys, and I'm talking cryptically here, trying to keep the show child safe, but there'll be a link up in the show notes I think you guys will get a laugh out of. And I guess that's going to be it for tonight for tech. Let me go ahead and open up the email and see what we've got. We've got no voicemails tonight. Again, if you've got comments on the show, geeknews@gmail.com. And I got to share this with you. I got this from Chris. Let me get the link here. I just have to show you this before we go anywhere tonight. And for those of you listening, you have got to see this. This is the score of the day. It's Space Shuttle Discovery. It's a 360 VR image. I was so fascinated with this. I burned about 30 minutes zooming in and looking at different things within the space shuttle. I've never really seen a close-up of the cockpit. But what's funny is here you've got a drop light. They got a drop light in here. And it just shows all the different controls. And it's going to come around, and I'm going to probably stop it and zoom in on something that's in the image. And we'll let it continue to come around. This is the coolest graphic I've seen in a while. You'll find this over at 360vr.com. Now we're looking at the back of the space shuttle upper deck. And I hope they do something for the lower deck. But okay, so it's coming into view. And what do we see? let me rotate this a little more. What do we see? We see a Dell laptop. Now, you know, I know a little bit about mounting stuff in aircraft. And I know how stuff has to be put in to be flight safe. And I'm looking at this image, and here we got this Dell laptop mounted on a desk, and this thing's going to start spinning again. But how, I'm thinking to myself, how did that get flight certified? Does that have meet a 20G requirement? Because, you know, anything it has to be strapped in can't come flying out. But it looks like it's being held in there by Velcro. And maybe they don't launch with that out there. But anyway, this is a totally cool graphic. You can actually look at the ceiling as well. You can look up at the overhead. And this is just totally, totally jazzed. And this will be in the listener links tonight. This is the coolest doggone thing I think I've seen in a while. So I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. I want to thank Chris for sending me this over. That was a huge find, dude. Very, 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 very cool. And, but yes, I agree. Must take a while to learn to be a shuttle driver. Don't forget to look up and down as you move around. So awesome. Got an email here from, there was a Google thread talked about, Google Plus thread just talking about the potential of going with the plank owner program. And someone suggested, actually, Nir in Israel suggested that I buy an RV. And actually put the studio in an RV. That way I could drive around Hawaii. Great idea. One, not enough room. Two, no place to basically park the RV. There's no real true facilities for RVs in Hawaii. Great idea if I was living in the mainland, but I don't think an RV is going to cut it. If we want to do a portable studio, we'll put it in a panel van or something like that. But thanks for that suggestion, Nir, and in the ongoing conversation from everyone that, that chipped in. Got an email here from Chris. He says, Todd, I was in Barnes & Noble with the kids. Did I have this? Was this on the last show? Let me make sure. 8-6. No. So I was in Barnes & Noble with the kids today picking up a couple books for them. When I entered the Nook, I saw the Nook display at the front door. I remember a while back you mentioning on the show the same thing. And if I remember correctly, commenting how Barnes & Noble is advertising their own demise. Says I'm going from memory on that, so I could be mistaken on my comments. I think and hope that Barnes & Noble is able to coexist with the Nook and avoid its demise like Borders. I see nothing wrong with B&N advertising the Nook in their stores, as it is a way to bridge the paper and electronic world. Devices like the Nook are great for travel. You can keep a library with you at all times. However, I still enjoy having a physical book to read. When Amazon first came out, people would visit the bookstore to look at books, but then buy them online. B&N plays their cards right. They can tap into that. He says, if you have a Nook, still visit the store, browse the books, feel the books, yet if you prefer an electronic format, then order it for the Nook. This is what I hope B&N has in mind and is able to accomplish. Also, I hope it is a feasible market for a company as well. Only time will tell. And this came from Christian, so thank Christian for your comments. Let's see here. I think that's it. That's all we've got for comments. Short comments tonight. But again, if you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. And of course, you can follow me at Twitter. So what do you guys think? Is it okay to go long? Or do I need to keep it consolidated? And love to hear your feedback on the show. As always, I feel less rushed tonight. Feel more comfortable. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Again, your feedback is what's the most important thing here. But from Honolulu, Hawaii, this is Geek News Central signing off. Take care and aloha.